Welcome once again to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Today we will be focusing on one of the greatest characteristics a follower of Christ can develop. It is a characteristic so important, in fact, that God actually requires it of you if you would seek it from Him, and that is forgiveness. Christians must develop a heart that is set on forgiveness. You know, from my perspective and personal experience, it seems that forgiveness is often taken for granted, overlooked, neglected. We seem to want to withhold it in bitterness as though it were our prerogative to do so. We neglect to ask for it when we need it the most. But forgiveness ought always to be in the forefront of our mind, just as Jesus taught us to pray. During the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches us to pray, and he says, we'll read and begin in verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, there's a portion in there, as we just read in verse 12, that specifically we are asking God to forgive us our debts. But the next line says, as we forgive our debtors. And I don't know about you, but that never really sank in into my mind that well. It never crossed my mind that it was a condition for our own forgiveness. Which in hindsight is foolish, because the very next thing Jesus says in verse 14 and 15, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And I must have said that prayer 1,000 times, and it just never occurred to me what Jesus was teaching us, that we have an obligation or duty to forgive others. In the same manner that he is willing to forgive us, we are literally asking God to forgive us in the way that we forgive others. And so the question is, how willing are you to forgive others? And it's clear that our ability to forgive is of paramount importance to God. And therefore, it's not something we should take lightly. It's not something to brush over, but something we must contemplate and reflect upon thoroughly if we hope to possess a forgiving heart. And so I think a good place to start is in Matthew 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant, which really begins in verse 21 with Peter asking Jesus, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? And Jesus says to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7, which, as we know, that's 490 minimum times to forgive. But then he proceeds to tell this parable in verse 23. We're going to read it. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. It's the same thing he asked for. But he would not. He went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. This is a powerful picture of a man who took things for granted and couldn't see past his own nose, somehow failing to appreciate the enormous gift and blessing that he had received while demanding a pittance in comparison from someone else. I mean, we're talking the difference between something like $1 billion and 1,000. But the monetary disparity is really only addressed to demonstrate what it's like when God forgives us for all of our sins. It is a debt so enormous that we could never even hope to pay it back. But of course, that doesn't stop most of us from trying. We try to pay it back and earn our salvation as we exhaust ourselves with fruitless efforts until we finally understand and hear Jesus when he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God is offering to you and to everyone who will accept a priceless gift so unimaginable and so generous that it will undoubtedly change you forever. But we see in this parable that the wicked servant was not changed at all. His heart was still just as cold and as hard as it had ever been. And so the king in the parable delivers him to the torturers. Now we think, does this mean that the servant was saved and then he lost his salvation? No, it does not mean that. There is no circumstance in which it is possible to lose your salvation. In John chapter 10, verse 27 and 30, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." If the Father has given you to the Son, the great and glorious shepherd, it is not possible to be lost or to lose your salvation, because the shepherd is guarding you. As we just read in John 10:28, he gives you eternal life and says that you will never perish. He does not say, "You shall never perish as long as you behave." He says his sheep will never perish. And so it is not a question about losing your salvation, but whether or not you are one of his sheep. And that is the driving purpose behind the parable of the unforgiving servant. Jesus tells Peter to forgive 70 times 7. In other words, there is no limit to forgiveness. We ought to forgive freely. As your heavenly Father forgave your enormous debt, go and do so for others. And then he shows what it is like for one who is unwilling to forgive. The wicked servant is a representation of those who might possibly hear the offer of forgiveness and run with it, assuming there is nothing more to be said or done about it, as they think to themselves, "This is great, my master is willing to forgive everything I've ever done. I'm going to take it, of course." But then they go on living as if nothing ever happened. They do not repent, they do not embrace Christ in faith, and they do not bear any fruit at all, but simply pay lip service, saying, "Lord, Lord," but then living life on their own terms instead of the Father's. Perhaps they are like the seeds in the parable of the sower that fell among thorns or stony places. Maybe they received the word with joy at first, but there is no root or fruit in them. So that might lead us to question, well, how do we know if someone is really saved? How do I know if I am really saved? Well, when someone is saved, there is a change that takes place within them. Last week, Brian quoted Ezekiel 36:26. God says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." To be saved is to be born again. It is not something we work towards or even have control over, but rather it is the work of God. It is a supernatural occurrence. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We might look the same on the outside, but there will be evidence of a new person as the Holy Spirit works within us. We see an example of this in Luke chapter 7, when a sinful woman found out Jesus was eating dinner at a Pharisee's house. She brought a flask of fragrant oil and stood behind him, weeping and washing his feet with her tears and wiping them with her hair before kissing his feet and anointing them with the fragrant oil. And all the while, the Pharisee was thinking to himself, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And so Jesus says to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." And Jesus begins another parable. And he says, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Now this woman wasn't saved because she loved much. In verse 50, Jesus says it was her faith that saved her. But she loved much because she was saved. Because she understood what had been done for her, or what Jesus was willing to do for her. Her love was the evidence of a redeemed soul, a soul that had been forgiven much. And if you truly understood the depth of God's love for you, the work that he did to forgive your sins and redeem your soul, you would be on your knees weeping with this woman. For if you recall, the parable had two debtors. Even though one owed more than another, perhaps one was even a greater sinner than the other. But both of them needed forgiveness, because neither of them had anything with which to pay their debt. And that is exactly how we all stand before God, as debtors with empty hands. And though it is even worse than it sounds, because our Creator, the Creator of heaven and earth, our creditor, has been so gracious to us, blessing us with abundance and a glorious world bursting with life and magnificence, beauty everywhere to be found. Water that falls from the sky, food that literally grows from the ground. We owe him everything. But what do? We take it all for granted. And we have sinned against him many times over. We have turned our backs to him in rebellion. We've made a mockery of his law and treated his creation as though it were nothing. And truly, we deserve what we get in terms of punishment. But despite all of this, God does not forsake us. He allows us the opportunity to repent of our ways. As the prophet Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God promises to pardon and forgive you of all of your sins if you genuinely turn to him, repent, and put your faith in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. Not because you deserve it, none of us do, but because he is merciful and loves you. For in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And here is the simple premise for our need to forgive others. If God is able to love us so richly, even though we have treated him with contempt, and he is willing to settle our debt not with gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, surely we ought to love one another and display at least some of the humility, grace, and mercy that we have learned through our beloved Savior. Is that too much to ask? I don't think so. But it doesn't matter what I think. We started this sermon touching on the Lord's model prayer for the Sermon on the Mount, from the Sermon on the Mount. We find a similar passage in Mark chapter 11, shortly after the triumphal entry. Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 12, reads, now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Now, if you're reading along, you might wonder, what does this have to do with forgiveness? And the answer is nothing really, but it would be the occasion our Lord uses to demonstrate the power of faith in prayer. As we'll see, skipping ahead down to verse 20, and the next day. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, verse 25, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. It is the same warning from the Sermon on the Mount. But what does this have to do with the fig tree? Well, it's clear that God requires us to forgive others. Multiple times Jesus instructs us to do so, and even says that God will not forgive us if we do not forgive others. I think it's clear we all understand that by now. But the problem is, of course, it is not that simple. It is not always easy to forgive others, and we are not granted permission to simply say the words, I forgive you, without actually meaning it. For if you recall at the end of the parable of the unforgiving servant, the master is angry with the servant, he delivers him to the torturers, and Jesus brings that parable to a close and says, So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. And so forgiveness must be from the heart. And Jesus uses the withered fig tree as a demonstration, as I said, of the power of faith and prayer. If we do not forgive from our heart, if we do not truly believe in the forgiveness we offer, then it is not real, and it's not going to happen. We will hold on to that grudge, that hurt, or disappointment, and we will not treat that person with the same love and respect that God's creation deserves, the way he treats us, which is what we are called to do, to love our enemies, to bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Our Almighty God and Father has given his Son as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind, sufficient to pay every debt, to forgive every sin, and to redeem every soul. If, therefore, he is willing to forgive his enemies, and Jesus is willing to die for them, what right do we have to withhold forgiveness? A servant is not greater than his master. Furthermore, if we are praying and we ask God to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, yet we do not truly forgive them, how can God possibly forgive us? Or should we begin to pray, please God, forgive me the way that I am unwilling to forgive others? Maybe that's more accurate sometimes. You know, I know it's not an easy thing to do, to forgive at times, but God wants to help us in this area. And it is in part why he gives the Spirit to every believer, so that we grow more and more like Jesus every day, who is able to forgive from his heart even those who nailed him to the cross. So if you are struggling to find forgiveness in your heart, maybe you're thinking of someone right now that has hurt you, remember what Jesus said about the fig tree. Have faith in God. And whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. If you cannot genuinely forgive at the moment, you can at least genuinely pray that God will grant you a heart of forgiveness. And so as we come to a close and leave here today, I would just like us to consider our relationships here on earth. They are a reflection of our relationship with God. And whether that is with our children, our wives, husbands, friends, or even our enemies. How we treat others, just like the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears, will demonstrate our love for Christ. And I say this not so that we go out and work harder to show the world how much we love Christ, but so that we all question ourselves and examine our hearts. How great is the forgiveness that you received? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise you for your love and mercy. We learn from you through your word, through your example, through your spirit. Father, we ask that you not only forgive us, but that you grant us a heart that is set on forgiveness, that we may truly forgive from our hearts all of those who persecute us or just make a mistake, Lord. Sometimes we take things for granted. Sometimes we are frustrated. But Lord, we just ask that you grant us your spirit of mercy and compassion, and let us love one another as you have loved us. Lord, we praise you for all that you do, for the gift and sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose again, that we may believe in him. Lord, we just ask that you bless this day, the remainder of this service. Let us all go home safely. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.